This episode was recorded at FinCon out in Portland. So there's a little bit of background noise. It's one of those that we recorded in the expo center. So there's a little bit of background noise out there. And a couple disclaimers. I guess that's number one. The second one is this episode is very Doug heavy. So JT made it out to Portland as well. And he was curious about some of the details of my career after my corporate job. So I continued working. I have been self-employed for the last several years. So JT was like, hey, I just want to ask you questions. Like, you mentioned things in passing. So really a tight focus on my story. The other disclaimer is like, we only had the booth for a certain amount of time. So there's not as many tangents. So that could be a pro or a con. And again, very focused on my story. So if you don't like me, it's unfortunate for all of us. But if that is something that you won't enjoy listening to, then this probably won't be your favorite episode. And what I'm doing here is setting the expectations so low that maybe you'll enjoy it because you thought it was just going to be horrible. We'll see. I think JT did a fantastic job and I did my best. The last thing that I'll mention here is if you dig the show, check out some of the links to help support the show. We don't have any advertisers now. So if you like the show and you want it to keep going, have a look at the links. I don't push this very hard, very often. That actually shows in the number of people that are actually supporting the show. So have a look. If you do enjoy it and you want the show to stick around, be sure you take a look at those links and we'll send it to the show now. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I'm Doug Cunnington, and this is a fun episode. I get to talk about myself the whole time. My good friend JT is sitting in with me. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And we're roommates for the first time. We've never been roommates before, right?
No, we've been at events together before, but not in the same room.
So far, so good. It's only been one day. I will add the hotel room has an odd configuration where the bathroom doesn't have a door on it, slash there's like a sliding barn door situation that closes off where the beds are. Is that yeah, a good way to explain
there's
it?
There's a door to the beds, but not to the bathroom.
And it's really weird. So if someone opened the door from outside to go into the room, you're like looking directly into the shower. It's all fucked up. It's weird.
But you can't see the beds.
No,
if they close the door.
It's so weird. I have no idea. So we're navigating that and we're being very respectful of each other. We don't have too much time today where people may hear the noise. We're recording here at FinCon and something cool happened. Mindy reserved this spot for four people. And then Mindy Jensen, not to name drop, but our dear friend Mindy Jensen was like, I have this reserved. She can't record. She doesn't have people. And I was like, oh, I'll talk about anything.
She had nothing to do with it.
So we have this great spot. So we don't have a ton of time, but the noise is the energy here going on at FinCon. So a little while back, JT, you had an idea to just like ask me some questions about myself. I'm not 100% sure like what the questions are at all, but I thought, oh, that's a good idea. Like sometimes I think I talk past a couple things and then don't really go into any detail. So that's what this is about. Is that roughly what we're getting into?
Yeah. I mean, you've commented on some episodes and then some other conversations we've had that you're trying to do a little less and work a little less. But in the context of Mile High Fi, you haven't really talked about what you've been doing other than that podcast. And in some other conversations we've had, I know you've worked on some interesting things since you've left the corporate world, but you haven't really talked about it much here on this podcast. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk both about what you've been doing and sort of what you were involved with since you left the consulting world. And now when you've decided, you know, even that stuff, I'm kind of not really interested in pursuing anymore and kind of want to move on. So we're going to talk about all the things you don't care about anymore.
Perfect. Yeah. No, it's an interesting story overall. And I've definitely like shifted how much energy I have and how much effort I want to put in things. And as time went on, where the kind of work I was doing was up to me, and then if I was working at all was optional, it really changes how I'm spending my time. So this sounds, yeah, it's great. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I'm first just curious. So you were doing management consulting for a while, and then they decided they didn't want you to do that anymore. And somewhere between there and when we started talking, you got into affiliate marketing and content creation and a lot of, you know, those activities. And I was just curious, like, how did you even get into those areas? It doesn't seem like something that would come out of a consulting background. So how did you go from that consulting to, okay, here are some other business ideas that I would like to try?
So I am a podcast listener, and I was listening to a bunch of brewing podcasts, but I kind of got burned out on those. And in 2013, I was just scrolling through, and I actually found Smart Passive Income, which is Pat Flynn's podcast, who did the keynote
right,
today.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, I was like, this sounds like a total scam, because it was like make money online kind of stuff. But as I listened more, I was like, oh, maybe there's something to it. I found enough evidence where I was like, oh, there's something legit. So in 2013, within maybe like a month or 6 weeks, I started dabbling a little bit, and it worked out. I mean, it was a roller coaster ride because I didn't know what I was doing. So I would earn some money, but I very slowly got started learning about SEO and affiliate marketing. And it's just technical enough and different enough to be exciting. So it was very fun to learn that. And I was like waking up early on weekends to work on the side hustle. And by the time I got laid off a couple years later in 2015, I wasn't making like a full-time income, but maybe I was making like on average, say $1,500 a month. And I had times where I made whatever, $8,000 or $10,000 in 1 month. So I knew it was possible. I just needed to make it consistent. So you're right. The consulting stuff, my other background didn't really lend itself, because essentially I became like a marketer and a content creator. So when I got laid off, I was like, I can give it a shot. And by then I was listening to a bunch of entrepreneurship podcasts and reading Tim Ferriss books and thinking, oh, I should work for myself. This seems better.
So you started it as a side business while you were still doing consulting, and then by the time your consulting career was over, you thought, well, now I have more time to go do this. And what did that look like at the time? If my memory serves me right, like 2013, 2015 was a lot of articles, SEO, dropshipping, affiliate kind of stuff. So what do you remember that you were kind of getting into, and what skills were you developing that were useful at the time?
Yeah, so you nailed it. It was articles. And I focused in essentially on Amazon affiliate marketing. So I tested a couple things, but it would be like best podcast microphone, and I would have an article, and I would have the Shure and an Audio Technica and some other brand, or, you know, several different examples, and essentially make recommendations on those. And that's just an arbitrary example, since I'm staring at microphones and podcasting equipment.
Yeah.
But it could have been for anything. I love cooking, so a lot of stuff was like kitchen related, outdoor stuff as well. So backpacks and shoes and whatever. And the business model is I have an article, there's an affiliate link, and then if someone clicks it, they end up going over to Amazon or some other company, and then I get a commission, usually somewhere between say 1% and 15%, depending on what it is. Probably around these days, it's probably around like 5% or 3%. But yep, so it was affiliate marketing, and I learned how to write articles for SEO to get traffic from Google. So not really high quality communications, but what Google wanted at the time.
And were these mostly like single page websites that you were putting together, or for, to go back to your podcast microphone example, would you have multiple articles around podcasting in general and podcast microphones specifically, and then like, oh, well, here's the ones that I think are good?
They were, by the time I got into it, they were much bigger sites. So you would want to have like more authority and more information and have just a lot more information versus a one pager, which was popular probably 10 years before I got into it, something like that.
And were you typically picking products that you were interested in, or were you looking for products on Amazon that maybe had higher affiliate commissions, or products that you thought, you know, you were looking at keywords and seeing what arbitraging affiliate rates versus advertising rates, like how would you decide what you wanted to write the next thing about?
In the beginning, I think I leaned into what I was interested in. So that made it easier. I would have products, I would have knowledge about it. So again, kitchen stuff, I would like understand whatever, cookware or cast iron or whatever, versus if it was, I don't know, like hair care items, which I don't know much about.
Yeah.
Although hair loss could have been a great thing for me to get into. But as time went on, I actually did go and find, in air quotes, like opportunities based on keywords and underserved keyword areas. And along the way, I created a keyword research like method/system, keyword golden ratio, which is an awesome fucking name. And it like actually caught on, like many good ideas. I mean, it's not like I came up with the exact thing, but I named it well and I marketed it well. But I took like three ideas, kind of pushed them together, and some people would, I mean, you know, you have won when there's like hater videos and they're like, here's why the keyword golden ratio doesn't work. And I'm like, you guys, fucking idiots. Like, you're just sending more. Yeah, anyway.
Right.
So it was kind of cool to like see that play out. And it took, I mean, no one cares for 2 years. And then all of a sudden people are talking about it. And there's a conversation where I'm not involved at all. And that was going on.
Now that would be a more like meta step though, right? Because now it sounds like what you're talking about is not so much the affiliate work itself, but now talking with other people about how to do this kind of work.
Right.
So like from both sides, when you were working in the space, were you also like, was it mostly forums that you were looking at? Were there courses that you paid for? And then as you started developing more skills, like when did you think about, hey, maybe I don't just want to do the affiliate work itself. I want to work in teaching other people how to do this as well.
The classic make money online thing where you're like, oh yeah, it's more profitable to teach people than actually do the thing, which in many cases is true. So great question. Immediately, for whatever reason, I knew that I wanted to have like my own like informational products as well. So as soon as I like started making money and I was like, I'm going to have a blog and I want to share my story, which is, I mean, it's like podcasting. People learn from podcasts, so they want to start their podcast. It makes sense. So I learned from bloggers and podcasters. And as soon as I got traction, I was like, I can add something to this, because I have a project management background, so I could add some more formal layers and templates and think about it from a kind of a corporate operations SOP, those kind of ideas, versus a random person that's kind of putting stuff together and is a little scattered and not organized. So I did that right off the bat. Most of my learning was from blogs and podcasts, little YouTube. I did buy courses over time, but from the very beginning, I was like, I want to have some courses. So it tracked pretty well. I earned about half of my income from selling courses or doing coaching or similar. And the other half was from like affiliate marketing and like the I was practicing it and then I was teaching it in parallel.
Cool. As you went from 2013 through 2015, when you started doing this full time and developing more information products, like how did you see the world that you were working in change? So I know there were a number of times, I don't remember the exact date, so I'm like, Google would really change how they did SEO. And it was just enough on the edge of what I was paying attention to that I knew a lot of, either from the affiliate marketing or the info product side, people saying, man, my Google ads aren't converting as well, or I'm not getting the kind of traffic that I was seeing. So how did you navigate through, we'll say maybe 2015 to 2020, 2021? What were some of the major inflection points? Again, either from the marketing side itself or the info product side?
Since the beginning of when I started following along with any SEO, there were like Google algorithm updates that like killed businesses, and people would be making whatever, $1,000 a day, and it would just go away like that. So I saw the volatility, and the kind of good part for me is like in 2015, when I started doing it full time, there was pretty good growth all the way until 2020. Couple inflection points. There were a handful of, you know, algorithm updates that minorly hurt some of the sites that I had. Yeah. However, I did have a couple of affiliate partners after a couple years blogging and being a creator. So I had a couple launches of my course where it was like, made like 70K in like a week or something. It's like crazy stuff, yeah, right? Yeah. Like it's the things you hear about. Of course, I mean, there was a lot of work leading up to and a lot of work after, but like when you look at the snapshot, it's like, God damn, that's crazy. Cause yeah. like that was like full-time salary, right? Or for me in those days. So that was a positive inflection point. There were a couple others, like not directly related with SEO, but Amazon changed their commission rates from sort of a volume-based commission rate to a category-based. So effectively what happened is they cut the commission rates by 30% for most people. And that hurt. I actually had a site for sale around that time, and that impact, it was like under review, we had an offer, things were happening that cost like six figures, like the impact to the sale price there. So that one hurt. And as time went on, I was like, this is volatile. So one thing that I did, I didn't really reinvest as much as some of my peers did. So some of my peers, they'd be like, oh, I'm putting in 90% like back into the business.
Right.
And I would put in like 10 or 15 and like take everything else out. And then back to our FI world, I would put it in index funds. So by 2020, I was already, I have a 5-year attention span for stuff. So I was already kind of like dialing back a little bit, sold like my last big website. After that, I've tapered down overall.
So two threads along that I kind of want to pull on a little bit more. How did you think about, you know, when you had a site that was hopefully making money, like how did you think about, I'm just going to keep making money on this site versus I'm going to go sell it to someone? And then how did you think about who to sell it to?
Tough decision. And the thing is, the prices, the multiples that these sites were selling for, it was roughly, we'll call it like 35 to 40x the monthly profit, which is like 2 to 3 or about 3 years of revenue. As time went on, I mean, I think the market has totally dropped, but like it was even higher. So it was like 3 to 4 years, which is a little, I mean, that's a high price. The thing is, as time went on, I realized whenever I think I should sell it, or if I was giving someone advice, I would say, you need to sell it when it looks like it's a really stupid time to sell it. Cause I always waited too late. Mm. And it was always like on the way down or level, and you can't get as good of a multiple. And there's many factors, right? Like just what I've seen, people hang on for too long and they don't sell it. All that to say, it was really tough to make the decision because the money was so good on a right. monthly cash flow basis. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, did you see anyone exit, or did you know anyone doing that kind of stuff?
I didn't know a lot of people who were doing this kind of work. Like I said, it always sort of sat on the edge of what I was paying attention to. There's a college friend of mine who got into ad attribution. for a while. So this was an area that I paid a little bit of attention to, but not enough to really like be involved in the community of people who are doing this work.
Yeah, it was tough and it's still tough, you know, because if someone is like making money, it's like, why get rid of that
right. Like
cash flowing machine? But it's not like real estate where there's some intrinsic value left with it. If you lose all your traffic from Google, which happens, and we're at a conference, it used to be the Financial Bloggers Conference at the beginning.
Yeah.
Now it's creators of all kinds, but basically hardly anyone talks about blogging because like people don't read blogs the same way. Like you can't get traffic in the same way. It's just a different, I mean, there might be a handful of people that are talking about blogging these days.
Did you find, just along with that, as traffic moved from blogs to social to video to short form, like did your work move along with that, or different pieces of that, or was there a point at which you decided, you know what, I'm kind of tired of chasing the trends and chasing where the traffic is, and I'm going to kind of ride whatever I'm doing now to the end and then kind of be done?
Yeah, definitely the latter. So I tested some things, but there were things that I wanted to do. So I actually, like, I blogged for a long time, and then I added YouTube actually first, and then I started a podcast and continued on with YouTube and podcasting sort of in parallel. Mm. I do some videos that are not podcasts, but typically it's just podcast in a video format. To your question, essentially I added those layers on there, but as I think I dabbled and I have tested with some of the short form video, but only on YouTube Shorts because that's where I was, and I didn't want to get involved in any meta products. I don't want to do TikTok, and there's a lot of talks going on and people will say like, oh, I was able to do this and that. Not my thing. I don't give a shit. I don't care. And where I'm sitting now, like I don't need it to grow. And if it's work that I don't want to do and on a platform that I don't participate in, it's like, it's going to show the whole time. Right. And I'm not going to like it and it's not going to work. So I'm just like,
was that change more on the information product side or the marketing side or like some of both?
For me, I think mostly on the like the marketing of the information product. I'm not sure if I'm answering the question right, but actually when you peel it back, I was just like, I'm only going to do the stuff that I want to do. And typically it's these conversations. So it's like, if this stuff can be repackaged into a shorter form, that could be okay. But I also don't want to do the work around it. I'm like, I don't want to edit videos into a vertical format. And I'm just like, I don't care. I test it occasionally just to see. But at the end of the day, I'm like much happier with just a clean workflow and not worrying about other stuff. And I may have answered a question you didn't even ask.
I mean, I guess so by the time you started getting into some of these other channels and podcasting and video, and were you more about the process of affiliate marketing rather than doing the affiliate marketing at that point? Or were you still kind of doing both?
Still kind of doing both. And I retired my courses officially in 2024 because the business model was not doing that great. And I stopped actually marketing it about a year or year and a half before that because I was like, things are changing too fast with AI writers and the way people use search and the way they use AI. And it's different now than it was like a year ago or 6 months ago.
Right.
But overall, yeah, I was kind of moving away from, again, I have a 5-year attention span or so. And then it's a little pivot kind of still in the same world. But yeah, at this point, yeah, I'm like totally out.
Do you see right now that there's still room for this kind of affiliate marketing work working with AI, or do you think that AI is going to drive most of the money like out of that part of the business and you just kind of want to be done with it? I guess maybe another way to put it, like, did you decide I'm tired of chasing what the next thing is, or this thing as a whole is just, it's kind of done. And I either need to find something new or just be done and be retired.
Yeah. A little bit of both. And I know from this standpoint, because I've talked to a couple people that I haven't caught up with in a year or two over the last 24 hours. And some people are like, yeah, I'm doing great with affiliate marketing and this industry works well for me. And I'm actually getting leads from ChatGPT, that sort of thing. And ChatGPT based that information on a blog and whatever was set up for Google SEO, but it happened to work for ChatGPT as well. So I think there's still pockets where that's going to work. But at the same time, again, for me, I'm just like, I don't want to chase this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. Actually, that's one thing on my other show. The audience has been patient, but I'm like trying to find the path of like what I actually want to cover and what I'm interested in. And one thing that I have seen, unfortunately, like the make money online industry is filled with scammers and just like not accurate information and the same eight people promoting each other's products and just selling. And they're like, this is so great. So I do see some people that are selling things where I'm like, that seems like it's not true. Like it just, I don't know what's weird about it, but just it doesn't pass my sniff test. And even if it does work, like right now, it's not going to work like long-term, that sort of thing. Yeah. So
you've wound down all of the actual affiliate marketing stuff that you were doing.
Yeah.
And you've wound down all of the courses and stuff that you had been doing. You still have the podcast, right? The Doug Show.
Yeah.
I guess why and sort of what direction are you thinking about for that?
I'm struggling with this, and I got a great email from someone in the audience because I'm asking for feedback. And basically, when I started asking and I was struggling and I'm like, I'm just talking about my view of the industry, my observations, and then what I'm working on, personal stories and stuff like that, people actually really liked it. And there's enough, I think I may have mentioned it on the show before I mentioned it to you. There's probably total, I would say, for each of the Doug Show episodes, say between 400 and 1,000 people watch or listen or something, which is a fairly significant number. It's very small, like if you, in the grand scheme of things, but like that's a significant number of people. And they're sticking around while I'm figuring it out and actually enjoying me struggling with what to cover. The good email I got, he was like, oh, you interviewed someone from back in the day and you were just kind of shooting the shit, which is a lot like what we're doing now, or Mile High Fi, or the shows that I like to listen to. So I may move in that direction. And the tweak that I need to make is to make sure I'm interviewing, say, like YouTubers that are, you know, they're into guitars, because I'm into guitars. But we'll talk about marketing and being a YouTube creator, but it's under the context of like guitars, because that's fun. And I can talk to people that I watch their channel and I'm like, oh yeah, how'd you grow? Like, what are you struggling with? How do you avoid burnout? And it's still fun. Yeah. Cause I was like, I could just stop doing it and it's fine. I could just stop or change the schedule or change the scope. Do you have any smart questions to ask me about where it's like to press me and make me think about it?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, one of those.
Yeah. No. Remind me how long you've been doing Mile High Fi.
You know what? You remind me. I'm not sure. I think we're at about like 290 episodes. I think Carl and I started in early 2021. So that'll be, it's 4.5 years.
So what happens when you hit your 5-year attention span, the Mile High Fi?
Yeah. Well, the good part is I'm changing what I'm doing. And the other part is I'm able to just have conversations that are fun. And I think that works for me. So I like having the conversations. Scheduling isn't too hard. I finally got rid of the dead weight that was Carl.
Of course,
hold me back. But I'm going to record again with him today. It was really fun recording with him. He talked about farts a lot, which was shocking.
I'm very surprised. Yes.
I do enjoy it. Now, the Doug Show, I was going to say, I did start that one in 2019. So that one's been going even longer.
Yeah.
But I am shifting what I'm doing. And I've simplified things to make anything that was sort of a headache, like I'm getting rid of it. So that's one of the tricks that I'm doing too.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks for walking through all this. I know we've talked about it quite a bit over the last couple of years, but I haven't heard you talk about it on Mile High Fi. And I figured if I was curious about what you've been up to outside of the context of that podcast, then other people might be as well, who've followed the affiliate marketing and info product space to one extent or the other over the last number of years as well. So thanks for letting me ask you a bunch of questions about like what you've been up to for the last decade.
And thank you. Appreciate that. And I think you did a great job as a co-host. You were the interviewer in this case, and I think you did a really good job. Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Fi podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. So we'll catch y'all next week.